Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the Savior of sinners. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord has called us to serve Him at this time. I remember hearing a portion of a message delivered by the late Dr. Monroe Parker, in which he was talking about there being no Hebrew word for the present, because the present is fleeting. You can't put your finger on the present. If you say, I'm touching now, now has become the past. I'm doing something now, by the time you say it, it has gone into the past. It's paid out into the past, and you can't lay hold of the present. It's fleeting, and that's the way our lives are. Things are moving by us, and if we don't understand that we are here but for a moment, so many verses of Scripture tells us of the temporality of life, how temporal things are. I watch our grandchildren, and I think about them, and it seems like just yesterday that our own children were these ages, and then I think again, I don't remember them being that age because time has gone so quickly. I never will forget having asked my grandfather if his years went fast. He said, yes, they go fast. Now, when you're young and don't have a whole lot of responsibility and others are caring for you, then time seems to drag when you're living only for pleasure. I think of how long it took for Christmas to come. It just seemed like it would be forever. And then the older I got and more responsibility I had, it seemed like it went fast. And I grieve at the thought of how so many are living only for the now, which is gone. And they live for self, and there are many who will change partners in marriage and go from one person to another, not thinking about the fact that one day things are going to change for them for good. There are going to be some permanent changes that will take place. Take, for example, the young man who boasts in his strength and that he is so selfish and lifted up in pride and uses people. One day, someone will have to carry him about. Or the young woman who boasts in her beauty and flaunts her beauty before the world and does not realize that beauty is a fading, fleeting thing. She builds her life around her beauty. I remember some time ago of a story of a young girl, thinks she was around the early 20s, and she was called of the Lord to serve, and her looks were of such that someone asked her to go to New York to become a model, one of these supermodels, they call them, making large sums of money for appearing on magazines and wearing clothing and advertising various products. And she did this. Well, when she got there, a short time afterwards, someone cut her face with a razor. She turned away from doing what the Lord wanted her to do, if I remember the story correctly, and wound up having her face slashed with a razor. Now, that's sad that would happen like that, that someone would be so mean to do a thing like that. But there are many other tragedies that occur that people will say, I am young, I have strength, and I don't need anyone. But don't forget, the day is fleeting, flying quickly beyond you. Your strength is going with it. And you will need to settle down and recognize the fact one day you'll get old. You're on the same road as every old person is. Father, we pray that thy people, each person would recognize how quickly life passes and that we'll do right today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Exodus chapter 34, beginning at verse 10. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. The Lord is speaking here to Moses. Before all thy people, I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before the Amorites, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. The Lord had told Moses, or is telling Moses at this time, I'm going to drive out the inhabitants of the land to where I'm taking you. They are just occupying God's land. God owns it all. And, you know, I was looking at this on the map the other day. I think it's about 214,000 square miles that the Lord promised to give to Abraham. From Egypt, from the Mediterranean Sea, to the River Euphrates, to the mountains of, I believe, Lebanon, to the north there. All of this land that the Lord promised to Abraham. A tremendous piece of real estate. Now, most of that is not inhabitable because it's desert. But if there were water, then there would be great habitation. The Lord will make this desert blossom like a rose. He's the one who promised this. Now, it looks like the Lord had given to Abraham, promised to Moses, this covenant, that the land that they were going to have would be a land that was just barren and wasteland. Well, if the Lord is the one who gives life, he can certainly make that happen, make water grow, plants grow there. He says, I make a covenant before thy people. Now notice he still calls this people Moses' people. And he says he will do a terrible thing. Now we in today use the word terrible in a sense of something that's undesirable. This word here means something that strikes terror, something that is quite different from the ordinary, something that is of such nature that will make one stand in awe and consider, why, this is very different. It is something to be revered, something to fear, something that causes fear, honor and respect and reverence. The Lord, he's a terrible God in that sense. He commands, demands, and is due reverence and fear. And so in this passage, he is saying that this is what he will do. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out the inhabitants, those seven nations that he is going to drive out. Nobody else can stop him. Nobody can stop him. He will do his holy will. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest. Now listen, the Lord honors his word, and he will honor an agreement made by a man. Notice what he says in verse 12. Now you be careful that you not make any covenants with the inhabitants of the land. Don't make any covenants with them, as the Lord had said, because if they did, there would be, you remember, the Jebusites recognized that the children of Israel, led by Joshua, were God's people. They were no ordinary people. And the Jebusites feigned themselves to be a people of a distant land. And Joshua and his host and his leaders, elders, didn't ask or inquire of the Lord. The Jebusites said to Joshua, See these shoes we have? They were new when we left. See this bread we have? It was fresh from the oven. See these clothes we were wearing? They were new when we left. Now look at them. They're all tattered, torn, worn, moldy bread. And they took the Jebusites at their word, and they found out they were just a few days away from them. And the covenant was made with them. The promise was given to them. And later on, Saul didn't honor this covenant. And there was a famine in the land during the days of David. And when this famine occurred, what was it? Because someone didn't honor, Saul didn't honor this covenant that had been made with the people of the Jebusites. You see, the Lord keeps his word. And like a child would make a promise that would, in a sense, be made on the word of the Father, the Lord seems to honor that, because he talks about this as being the case when a wife would make an agreement or a daughter would make an agreement. Now, if the husband heard the agreement being made and did not speak up, then it stood. But if he did not hear it, it didn't have to stand. The Lord said to these, "You be careful that you not make any kind of covenants or agreements with these in this land when you come in. Take heed, be on your guard, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." The Lord is jealous for the love that is due him from his creature. He will not receive those who worship other gods. There is no God beside him. I was telling someone the other day about this, that the religions of the world get together and they say, "Oh, this is how you think? Yes, this is how I think." And they talk together and they can dialogue. Come to Christianity, the Lord Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's the statement the Lord Jesus makes. Now, all the religions of the world can climb in bed together, but Christianity, no, we'll have no part of it. And that's one of the reasons why the devil hates Christianity. All the religions of the world are the devil's religions. The ones that say, you do something and you can make yourself acceptable. You can save yourself. That's what the world's religions say. The world's religions say you can clean yourself up and you can make yourself good. But the Lord says, you are a sinner. You can't clean yourself up. In fact, you're so hopeless, I have to provide salvation for you in the form of a gift. You can't even work for it. It's a gift. And then he moves on the heart and brings conviction. He knows what one desires, and he will receive those into his family. God's gift is free. God's gift of salvation, it's free. You receive the Christ of God, and you'll be saved. The Lord is a jealous God. He'll have no other gods before him, beside him, alongside of him. Worship him and him alone. All the religions of the world are false, and they will not take you to God. They will not get you to heaven. Heavenly Father, help each to see today that salvation is in Christ and his work on the cross. We pray thee to save some soul, someone to be delivered from bondage. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.